I'm there working on this project, and to do with an underwater water meter for residential places there in this for the state of Texas. And so his company was working on this bid, and another other companies, because we're talking multi-million dollar contracts, but there's a problem. The water would get inside this water meter, and it would give faulty readings. So who could ever come up with a solution for this water meter would get the bid for the project. Well, they were working on it. They couldn't figure it out. And he goes to a church, and they have a prayer meeting there once a week in midweek. And he went there, and they were taking some prayer requests. He said, you know, at work, I'm working on this water meter, trying to find a solution. We cannot figure a solution out for this problem. Could we pray about it? They said, sure, we're going to pray about it. So they prayed about it. Well, a couple days later, God downloads into his mind a solution for this problem. And so there, the company ended up getting this multi-million dollar bid, you know, for the state of Texas. So management calls them in and said, we want to know how you figured out a solution for this problem when nobody else could figure it out. No other companies could figure it out. And he said, well, I'd like to tell you I was smart enough to figure it out. And he said, but I could not figure it out. But we have a prayer meeting that meets in our church, and I asked them to pray about it. And they did, and God downloaded in my mind the solution for it. Well, the company saw prayer, multi-million dollar contracts. I guess you guys can use the lunchroom for prayer. You know, this prayer meeting is still going on today. It's been 15 years. That was 15 years ago, and they're still meeting in that lunchroom to pray, dedicate the day. I tell you this story to help you understand God can be glorified in any area that you work in. You don't have to be in the ministry. You were created for God's glory. God has all the power. You need all the wisdom. You need all the patience. Whatever you need, he has it. But there's one thing he doesn't have, is your heart. You've got to give that to him to live for his glory, his interest. So we say, okay, let's live for God's glory. Seems simple enough, but I found it's extremely difficult to live for the interest of another person. That's what we're talking about. God is a person. God has certain interests, and he's asking us to put our interests to one side, let his interests dominate our hearts. Let me show you how difficult this is. In Philippians 2:19, pretty amazing verses here. Starts out 2:19 to 2:21. It says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. For I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. I have no one else like him. For everyone looks out for their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. What's so astonishing about these verses, Paul's not talking about these people that live for their own interests. He's not talking about unbelievers. He's not really even talking about just a typical church believer. He is talking about other ministers and leaders that work with him. He says, I'm looking for somebody to send. But he says everybody lives for their own interest. You know, it really kind of shakes you, you know, this whole what's happening here. Because I'm sure these ministers weren't living in a sinful lifestyle. Paul wouldn't have had that working with him. But they probably live like the most of us live. Lord, I'm trying to live a good life. Now please look out for my interest. Lord, please look out for my interest. That's kind of how what we've reduced Christianity to. God, I'm trying not to be entangled in sin. Now, please meet all my needs. And so Paul says, listen, I have somebody that really lives for the interest of Jesus Christ. And how do we live for his interest? Well, Paul tells us right here, we live for his interest when we look out for the welfare of other people. That's how you live for God's interest. Jesus said, oh, you gave a cup of water to the least of these? Well, you did that for me. You visited somebody in prison? Well, you visited me. We live for God's interest when we live for the interest and the welfare of other people. And that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit, right? More power of his flowing through us brings more glory to God, especially as we look out for the welfare of other people. But as you seek more of the power of the Holy Spirit, you've got to be equally passionate. Well, not equally passionate, even more passionate about falling in love with Jesus. Never separate the two. Never separate the two. And it's really more important to desperately fall in love with Jesus constantly. You know, when the Holy Spirit uses you to minister to others, you can get a reputation of being alive, being a man or woman of God. We see a lot of examples of this in the Bible. We have one good, bad example. Well, there's more than one, but Samson. right? He had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He had the reputation of being alive, being a man of God. And we always tend to look on the outside, the exterior, right? But God always looks at the heart. He's not, can we say, fooled by the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives. He always looks deeper to see what's in our heart. And Jesus gives us a great example of this when he talks to a church in Sardis. This is Revelation 3:1. He says to them, see, you see this exact same thing happening. I know your deeds, that you have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Now, you know, you don't get a reputation of being alive when your deeds are evil. You get a reputation of being alive when God's using you ministering to other people. But Jesus always looks at the heart. Now, he doesn't just look at the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our life. And I've come to find out what God looks for in us to see if there's a burning love, passion in our hearts for Jesus. That's what really makes us alive to God and for God. And that's what he's always looking for. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is there burning love in your heart for Jesus? Or has it dwindled down to just a pilot light? Just a pilot light. You know, to seek to have more of the anointing of the Holy Spirit without a growing love for Jesus is a very dangerous road to travel. Extremely dangerous, right? Samson, we see this in Samson. He had the anointing without a growing love for God, right? He basically lived for his own interest. You see it right from the very beginning of his ministry. Great anointing of the Holy Spirit, sees some hot pagan woman, says, oh, she pleases me, get her for me. And his parents said, well, there's some Israelites, you know, there's some girls, maids that serve Jehovah out of all these women. He wouldn't hear it. No, she pleases me, you know. And that's, he lived basically for his own interest, and his life ended in ruins, literally ended in ruins. And people, that still happens today. That still happens today. It could happen to you. It could happen to me. We hear this. We see this when this happens. You see God using somebody, and you know, miracles or, you know, a great anointing. A few months down the road, you hear of some type of scandal, moral or financial scandal, and you think, oh, that must not have been God doing that through that person. Well, it probably was God. It probably was God. But what really protects us is our heart. Not necessarily the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives. It's our love for God that motivates us in a way that pleases him. Right? Jesus says, he who loves me obeys me. And I've come to find out in ministry, it's really a lot easier to get anointing for ministry than to keep your heart on fire for Jesus. It's easier to get anointing for ministry than to keep your heart on fire for Jesus. You want a verse for that, don't you? Jesus, didn't we heal people in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? I don't know you, you workers of evil. Depart from me. God's so passionate and loves people so much. You know, he grants anointing on people for the welfare of other people. But it's not necessarily a sign of his approval for how somebody's living. That's why I'm saying it's really dangerous to look for the anointing without keeping falling in love with Jesus. But when you're really in love with somebody, it sure is a lot easier to live for their interest, right? Dear, whatever you want to do. Let's go out to eat where you want to go out to eat, right? And that's why we need to tend this fire in our hearts for Jesus on a daily basis. Leave it unattended for just a little while, I mean just a couple days, and it dwindles down to a pilot light in no time. I don't know why that is, but I think we all know from experience that's the way it is. You've got to tend the fire on a daily basis. And without a growing love for him, how are we going to live for his interest? It won't happen. It can't happen. It just can't happen. That's why it's so important to keep falling in love with Jesus so you learn to live for his interest. And I just recommend one book that we've loved, a devotional book. It's called Secrets of the Secret Place by Bob Sorge. Secrets of the Secret Place. Well, God has an incredibly blessed life planned for us, right? But this blessed life that God planned for us has an outward focus. That's why the anointing of the Holy Spirit is an outward thing to minister to other people. Rivers of life flowing out of us to meet their needs. And that's a wonderful, wonderful experience. When you start living that way, you feel fulfilled as a Christian. You think, wow, man, this is why I was born. That's your purpose in life, to bring glory to God. But to get to this place to have a continual flow of the Holy Spirit, not just a sprinkle once in a while, right? But a continual flow is a very hard place, difficult place to get to. In my own life, I mean, I was crying out to God saying, I mean, literally my prayers, I don't know if it was a prayer or a complaint, but it sounded like this. God, I'm tired of pursuing this level of anointing and ministry. I just can't get there. You know, I'm sorry my life doesn't bring you more glory, but it seems an impossible place to get to. Water break. And as I was praying that and, you know, just kind of wanted to give up, the Lord spoke to me in 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And as I read that, you know, in all my discouragement at the time and, you know, feeling defeated, that word was so clear to my heart. Kevin, you need to persevere in seeking more the anointing of the Holy Spirit, not for your sake, but for their sake, that they might be saved. And it so changed my thinking, you know. As for me, I could conform very easily, you know, to sprinkling, maybe splashing once in a while, because I know how difficult it is to get to a place where there's a flow of the Spirit from your life. But when I really saw that my love for Jesus or my lack of love for Jesus, my anointing or lack of anointing is affecting the eternal destiny of other people, I could no longer conform to little. You know, we don't like to think that way, do we? That our love for Jesus or lack of it, my anointing or lack of it, is really affecting the eternal destiny of other people. But it is. It is. Your life, how you live, is affecting the eternal destiny of your kids, of the people you work with, of your neighbors. And I know the final decision is theirs, but our lives play a huge, huge role in affecting what they do with Christ. That's why we need to keep persevering and seeking more of the Holy Spirit, right? Keeping our hearts on fire for Jesus and persevering. You've got to persevere. You've got to persevere. After his anointing, right? For their sake, not for our sake. For the sake of your family members. For the sake of your co-workers, right? For the sake of Midland. For the sake of the world. You know, we're talking about about God's interest, living for his interest, you know, the importance of it. And you think about it in this way. Have you ever really been burdened or really concerned that God's interests aren't being met? That's just a really foreign concept to us. It's like he's big enough to take care of himself. He needs to look out for my interest. But God has called us to live for his interest, to look out for the welfare of other people. And that's what missions is all about, right? When the Father set apart his own son, sent him into the world, he did that because he was looking out for our welfare. When Jesus got up on that cross and took all of our sins upon himself, all of our immorality, our fornication, our adultery, our lies, our blasphemy, our hatred, unforgiveness towards other people, he did that because he was looking out for our interest, because he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to go to spend eternity in hell. Aren't you glad? I am so thankful that we have a God that looks out for our interest, right? But like Karen says, the decision comes back to us. And I've come to really understand that, you know, believing in Jesus isn't enough for salvation. Repentance is also required to avoid the righteous judgment of God. You can't just believe. You've got to repent. 3 nights ago, I'm on the way home. It's dark out. I've been driving on the highway probably for an hour or so. Pull off on this 2-lane road, straight as an arrow, not a soul on it, late at night. And I'm just kind of daydreaming, you know. You guys do that, driving home. And nobody on the road. And all of a sudden, I see these flashers go on in my rearview mirror, you know. And so what do? Well, you look at the speedometer, you know, and I'm going 70 in a 55. Policeman comes up and says, Kevin. No, he didn't say Kevin. He didn't know my name. He says, only the Lord says that. He says, you know why I pulled you over? And I said, because I was going 70 in a 55. He says, that's right. Give me your license, you know, registration, proof of insurance. Sit tight. Don't move. I'll be back. And so about 5 minutes later, he comes back, hands me my papers, and he says, because you were honest with me, I'm going to let you go with a warning. And I realized how important honesty is. And I'll tell you, honesty is a really, really big deal with God. It is a really big deal. In repentance, honesty is a part of repentance. You're saying to God, you're right, God, I'm a sinner. I've broken your laws, but I want to change. I want you to break these chains off me. You come to God like that in honesty, and you'll see he'll do a work in your heart. He'll set you free. And it'll be more than just belief in Jesus.
That is an awesome illustration. Why do I always get the ticket? Let you off, and I get the ticket all the time. I did not lie. I did not lie, Donna. I can repent, I guess. Yeah, I do a lot of that. It's an awesome illustration. If you and I would just be honest with God. You see, if you and I are not honest with God, you're not pulling the wool over his eyes. You get that? God knows your need of him. So why don't we just be honest? Because I got a sense in this service there's several people that are all in chains. And this is your opportunity to have those chains broken. Well, I'll go home and think about it. No, you will go home and watch Michigan play and watch Michigan State play, and by the end of the second game, you won't even remember this. The scripture says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It's when the Holy Spirit's knocking on your heart, and he's doing that right now. Would you bow your heads, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. How many would say, Pastor Joel, I need Jesus in my life. I've never asked him to be my Lord. And right now, I'm under conviction. If I were to be honest with what I sense on the inside of me, it's, I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, all over this auditorium, raise your right hand up right now. Yes. 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 How many others? You can put your hands down. Yes, ma'am. How many others? That's good. Look up here, please. There were four of you who raised your hands. You, dear, this couple, and you back there. You know what? I want to do you a huge favor. I want to give you an opportunity to make a public profession. Why is that so important? Because Jesus said, if we don't admit publicly our need of him, someday when we stand in heaven, he'll say, who are you? Now, I don't know about you, the four of you, but for me, when I stand in heaven someday, or the entrance to heaven, or wherever this happens, I want Jesus to say, I know him! And how that happens is by you publicly professing. And so, you back there, sir, and this couple here, and you over here, would you come, please? Come on right up here. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's good, dear. Just come up and look at me. Come on. Two people are getting saved and they know each other, okay? They start, you know, I mean, they didn't sit together, but I said, how do you know each other? We went to high school together.
Well, junior high.
Junior high. Long time.
Elementary school.
Elementary school.
They grew up in Midland together.
And now they're at an altar together, receiving Jesus into their heart and into their life. Isn't that good? Your name?
Eric.
What?
Eric.
Harry?
Eric.
Eric. And?
Ashley.
Ashley. I've embarrassed you for a reason. What you've just done right now is going to put cement in your faith. And I know, in this day and age, it's, well, just kind of sneak out and kind of personally do this. Jesus never called anybody out privately. He always called them out publicly. In a group of people. You're going to follow me? Then come follow me. So a public profession is really important. Here's what I want you to know. Coming to Jesus is the simplest thing in the world. It's, I need you. I believe in you that you came and died on the cross for me. And I receive you into my heart and into my life. Not complicated. God the Father planned it that way. So that would be real easy for you. On this Sunday in March, to accept His Son Jesus and His gift for your life. Join hands in a circle here. Lord, I thank you for this scene right now. I thank you for these that are saying, yes, Jesus, I receive you into my heart and into my life today. And I don't know what chains they have on their lives. It's none of my business. But I know by receiving you, as Karen said earlier in the service, those chains are going to be broken in the name of Jesus. They're going to experience an incredible amount of power and presence. What we talked about earlier in the service, the presence of the Lord. Lord, I rejoice in their salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. And here's what I want all of you to know. I want you to know that you don't go this alone. See, if you try to go this life alone, you won't make it. The scripture is very, very clear. We are born into a body of Christ. And my hand is a part of my arm, and an arm is a part of my shoulder. And, you know, it's all connected together. You can't do this on your own. Well, me and Jesus, we'll just make... No, that won't work. You need a body. Be connected to. That's your first major step in discipleship. Is get connected with some brothers and sisters who believe like you believe, and you will find that just builds you up and protects you. So, I've got the privilege to introduce you to your new family. Now turn around and look at the congregation. Would you welcome these people? You can go back to your seats. You can go back to... Just remain standing, please. Just remain standing. I'll move up here so I can see. We don't have to bow our heads and close our eyes for this one. How many would say, Pastor Joel, I needed this message today because, to be really honest, I live more for my interests than his interests. I'm a believer. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But come, I'm under conviction right now because I need to get my interests straightened out. And the Lord's really spoken to me through this message that you raise your right hand up. Yes, yes, yes. God spoke to me today about this. Lord, you see the hands that have been raised. And I thank you that these people will go out of here today saying, I've got to work this message out. Help us not to leave from it or walk away from it, but that we'll continue to work in our hearts and our lives to produce that which you want it to. Dismiss us now in your love, your care, and your keeping, but don't dismiss us from your presence. We need you every day of our lives, in Jesus' name. Next Sunday morning, I've asked our pastor, Pastor Keith, to bring the morning message, and he will be doing that. We will look forward to what God has in store for us next Sunday. You have a great, great week. God bless you.